This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on a Wednesday, April Fool's. That's why we brought Randy Bush coming.
Oh, nice.
Get that out of the way.
Nice. You know, and this is like one of my least favorite days of the year. Because the level of douchebaggery on social media just goes way off the chart.
Can you say that?
I did.
I said a lot of things on here, and I don't know that I've ever said that before.
So. Well, I mean, I made it into a unique form of verbiage there.
But. Yeah, you did. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk with Rob Hernandez from Madison.com. Continued coverage of the Final Four and Big Ten with Wisconsin and Michigan State, both in the Final Four. And we'll talk a little bit more about what Wisconsin can do if they really can beat Kentucky. I've just got that.
They can.
I've got that feeling like their team is as good. And I think one of the things I want to talk about with Rob is maturity.
These
young one and dones for Kentucky, kind of that Fab Five Michigan deal with what they have got going on here at Wisconsin. So he's scheduled to join us. Then we will talk with the new UNK women's basketball coach and moving over from Hastings College, Kerry Hofstetter. Athletic Director Paul Plinsky will also be in studio. We'll have our Cunningham's comedy clip. It's all coming up in the next hour, plus a little baseball talk, a little volleyball talk. Concerns, and is this what it comes to? Two basketball players, three volleyball players. The women have had people leave, and I'm talking Nebraska here.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a rarity.
Something's up with the basketball team. Something's up with the men's basketball team. Something that we don't really know about. I really kind of feel that because you had and that might be the case, but you had a very good young point guard who was poised to be the face of your program in a couple of years. And he's going bye-bye. And there's something kind of up with that. Pitchford leaving, he's pretty serious about his studies. He's pretty serious about business and actually has some apps and things like that. I think he might want to get on with his life. I don't know if necessarily that's the red flag as it is with Terrence Smith leaving. To me, that's a bit of a red flag. And it may be what you say or alluded to there. But something's up. Yeah, and unfortunately, every program Tim Miles has ever had has made improvements from 1 year to the very next year. Well, that was not the case this year, and things are unraveling a little bit. Sometimes you got to take a step backward before you go forward. So I'm hoping good things with the Husker basketball program, but there's something's up.
We've had so much going on. Harvey Perlman announces today that next year will be his last year as the chancellor at Nebraska. Keith Urban's coming to the state fair, and you've got Kerry Hofstetter, and you've got Brian Maher leaving Kearney High. I mean, there's all kinds of news stories.
There really has been a lot of change. There has been a tremendous amount of change in the last 2 weeks? I mean, only we're not looking at a long period of time here. The last couple of weeks, you know, Tom Crop retiring, a Loper legend, kind of exiting the way you kind of figured he'd ride off into the sunset, doing it as quietly as possible.
Well, it's just a time for change.
Yeah, it is. And
last
nothing,
year was pretty quiet, but this is over the top. That does that mean it's going to be kind of quiet here for the next?
Well, there is kind of a. Yeah, what else can change? I mean, obviously things can. Don't get me wrong, but again, you go along. The longer you go without change, it's kind of like the longer you go in California without an earthquake. The next earthquake is going to be a little bit more seismic. So a little bit of that kind of applies here, in that if you don't have change for a long period of time, for whatever reason, when it happens, you might get a lot of it at one stretch. And I think we're kind of running into that a little bit.
If you've got questions for any of our guests, as always, you can contact us via the Twitter at ESPN 1460 1550. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And, of course, you can give us a buzz on the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. Nebraska baseball continues to do good. A two-hitter through eight innings from the young freshman Garrett King last night. Nebraska beats Creighton 5-1. They go 15-1 on the homestand. They play Omaha tonight at Werner Park, and the game will be on the Breeze 94.5. And remember, folks that were trying to find the game on television last night, and nowhere here, by the way, does it just says NET Sports, but there it says NET World. Why in the hell wouldn't NET put it on their main channel last night? It's Nebraska Creighton.
Idiots. I agree. You know, there's NET2, which, does anybody have NET2? What is that? I don't even know what that is. I have satellite.
But it kills you satellite people.
Yeah, I have satellite, and I had no idea how to find it.
A lot of people didn't have any idea how to find it last night, but Nebraska.
Because I was looking.
They jumped on it early and
saw a lovely documentary about cancer, though. It was a lovely documentary about cancer. I am a nerd. I actually DVR'd it.
That's just, you are weird.
I am. I like to be eclectic. I'm a thinker. Doug, I'm a thinker.
That's what
the eclectic doesn't mean that, but I'll explain that to you later. By the way, how is that Kentucky thing that we got going on? How's that working out so far?
Well, so far, so good. You're looking good. Hey, I took
you know,
the
I will say this. Wisconsin is the team, and this is the time that gives me the most consternation. I was a little concerned with the matchup with Notre Dame, because I thought Notre Dame could run and play with Kentucky. I think Wisconsin, because of what you said earlier, they're mature. They got a week to get ready for playing Kentucky. This is the chance, I think, of somebody to beat Kentucky is Wisconsin in the semifinals, because I think they'll win the championship if they get in.
That's what scares me when everybody says, "Well, this is the team." So my I don't know how this works. My gut tells me that Kentucky is going to win and they're going to cover, because it just nobody's given them that chance. My heart, my head.
Well, no, I think
Wisconsin,
people are giving Kentucky a chance. I think Kentucky's still a.
I'm just saying everybody's talking about Wisconsin. When it comes down to, it's going to be close and all that. You know, Kentucky. My gut says when you talk about stuff like this, Kentucky's going to win by 20. They're going to take the will away from Wisconsin. And when Wisconsin realizes that they're not going to win the game, you know, it could get ugly. It sets up. I don't think that's what's going to happen. But you know, in sports, when we talk about things, over talk them.
Yep,
it's usually the exact opposite happens. Like Tiger Woods winning the Masters this year. I mean, it's that kind of thing that happens in the world of sports. And so even though head, heart, all with Wisconsin, I can totally see Kentucky somehow winning this thing by double digits.
Well, if you're going to tell me one of these two teams wins by over 10, my money would be on Kentucky, although I would never do that. I would never put money into Kentucky. But in any event, I really think Kentucky's just a little bit deeper and a little bit better. But in terms of playing the game at their pace, the way they want to play it, I think Wisconsin would be as good at that as anybody in the country. And that's why they're a Final Four team. That's why they won the conference, a pretty good basketball conference, one of the top two or three basketball conferences in the country. And Wisconsin dominated it. I mean, Wisconsin is an excellent basketball team. When the brackets were drawn, I was thinking to myself, really? You think Wisconsin is the fourth best team in the country? You know, because Kentucky would be the number one overall national seed. Do you really think Wisconsin's number four? I don't. I think they're better than just about everybody. Maybe you could talk Duke in there, but I think Wisconsin's a real deal.
Let's do our Cunningham's Company Contest here off the first segment today. Usually we save that towards the end. Let's do it up first here today. Our winner will receive two tickets to Thursday night's comedy night with this week's featured comedian.
I forgot his first name, but
Charlie.
Wiener. No, Charlie Wiener.
Yeah.
Charlie Wiener. We weren't sure how to say it, and then you look at all the posters they have around. It's a guy dressed as a hot dog. So it's Charlie Wiener. It makes perfect sense.
We're going to play a comedy cut. It's either from a stand-up routine, a movie,
a
television show.
It's a movie.
movie this week? Okay. All you have to do is give us the answer, and we'll randomly draw out a winner for a pair of tickets to tomorrow's early show, which is 7:30 at Cunningham's. There's also a late show at 10:30. You can comment on our Facebook page, leave your answer, and, of course, then we can contact you right back if you're the winner. You can also listen to the comedy clip numerous times on our Facebook page. You can email the answer to our Dent Popper inbox, or you can call the Cunningham's Comedy Contest line, 308-646-0506. 646-0506. Here is this week's Cunningham's Comedy Clip.
I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? That or his dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Are you employed, sir?
Employed?
You don't go out looking for a job dressed like that, do you? On a weekday?
Is this a... What day is this?
Well, I do work, sir. So if you don't mind...
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand, you know? This aggression will not stand, man.
That's our Cunningham's Comedy Clip for this week. Your chance to win a pair of Cunningham's Comedy Contest tickets to tomorrow's Comedy Night at Cunningham's. Email the Dent Popper inbox, leave a comment on our Facebook page, or call the Comedy Contest line, 646-0506. We're pleased to welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Guter, Randy Bushcutter from Madison.com. Following the Wisconsin sports beat, and Rob Hernandez joins us this morning. Rob, thanks for squeezing us in. Exciting time for the Badgers, times two, back in the Final Four. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys today?
Well, we were just debating, and I guess this is the debate all along here. Wisconsin, you know how it is in the world of sports. This is just where we left off. Just when you think you've got something figured out, the exact opposite happens. The whole tournament, people have been saying Wisconsin is that matchup with Kentucky. Now it's finally here. Are people getting nervous, or are they very optimistic?
Well, I think there's some optimism just based on the way they won the Arizona game the other day to get to the Final Four again. That was probably the best half of basketball fans around here have seen, maybe in the history of the program. You know, you've got a Player of the Year candidate, Frank Kaminsky, playing at a high level. And then you get a breakout performance down the stretch from Sam Decker, kind of something that everybody around here has been waiting for. And now, if you're a Badger fan, you're thinking maybe there's a chance. But then you sit there and you look at the Kentucky roster. You look at some of these guys that you know, weren't around last year that make Kentucky better. And you wonder how this is going to be a game. So they got to play it, and I can't wait to see how the whole thing unfolds.
How does last year's experience, because it's been a while until last year that Wisconsin been there, how does that experience help, or does it? Is it really a factor?
Well, I think it helps a lot. I think, you know, the concern last year was what you just described. You know, would there be cold feet? Would be there, you know, deer in the headlights, that kind of thing? And, you know, they were one possession away from getting to the national championship game against the Wildcats. So I think, you know, for the Badgers, it showed that, you know, when you put a Bo Ryan coach team in a situation like that, preparation is not going to be in question. It's going to be execution. It's going to be, you know, guys playing at a high level. It's going to be answering the situation. You know, you get behind, can you come back? You get ahead, can you hold on to the lead? Those kind of things. And you know, they certainly acquitted themselves well last year with pretty much the same crew. And I think across the board, the Badgers are better than they were a year ago, because everybody can shoot the three ball now, and they've got some legitimate size inside, and they've got guys who can finish at the rim in Kaminsky, Decker, and Hayes in terms of an interior game. I think the big question mark is, can the guards in this matchup against these young, tall, athletic guards of Kentucky, can they, you know, perform the way they perform for Wisconsin with, you know, low turnover numbers, which is a key in this spotlight, on this stage, against the best team in the country.
Rob, as you mentioned, you guys played within one possession of Kentucky last year, but you guys, the team hasn't changed a whole lot from Wisconsin's perspective. It is a whole different personnel set up here for Kentucky. How much of that does translate? How much of that confidence does translate a year later?
Well, I think a lot of it does. I mean, I think, you know, any level of sport, any sport you talk about, having, you know, seniors and guys, you know, who legitimately this is their last game, and Wisconsin's got, I believe it's four seniors that'll, you know, won't play again, and then you throw in Decker, who probably won't come back either, and you've got guys that, you know, have been around and have that sense of urgency because this is their last hurrah. Kentucky, you don't know how to extrapolate that with guys who may not be here next year but are young, just came in and they're coming out. We thought after last year that we wouldn't see any of these guys again, after the one and doneers. But they've got enough guys with some experience, and then they've got guys that have played so much basketball around the country in so many different environments that I think the situation is maybe a wash. You look at that Notre Dame game the other night, and you thought, boy, there is some vulnerability to Kentucky, but they still found a way to win the ball game, and I would expect nothing short of that here at Indy.
Robert Andes of Madison.com. You can go there. They're going to be putting on a little conversation coming up at noon Central Time. So if you want to check that out and find out more on Wisconsin, the live chat going to be going on there. So check that out at noon. So, Rob, are you telling me that the experience and the junior-senior factor for Wisconsin probably isn't that big a deal?
Well, I think it's a big deal in terms of the way Wisconsin playing. There's no question about it. These guys are playing with a greater sense of purpose maybe this year than they did a year ago, and they're physically, mentally, at the place that you like to see senior basketball players. And when I say that, Kaminsky, when he came out against Arizona the other day, you saw a certain fire in his eye that he was not going to lose that game. And I think that rubbed off on Josh Gosser, who's been around now for 5 years. And it rubbed off on Trayvon Jackson, the limited minutes that he's been able to play. Dewey Ducon, who's a key member out of that bench, and the Badger bench has been much maligned throughout the year because they really struggled after a pretty good start. There were about four or five games in a row where they either got, they got five or less points out of that bench. And even though they got some quality minutes in other areas of the game, they just weren't putting points on the board, so it put a lot of pressure on the starting five to deliver, especially after Jackson went down with his fractured foot. So, I think those things are huge. And then you throw in Decker, who's playing like a senior because, everybody thinks that he's not going to be back. He probably thinks that there's a good chance he won't be back. So if he's going to do it, he's got to do it now. And they're just more mentally equipped. They've played more games. Nobody's played more games in Badger history than Josh Gosser. And I think the cumulative effect of all those games and all those situations, Badgers play a pretty tough schedule, and the Big Ten has, I think, gotten them ready. They played Duke in the challenge with the ACC. I think all those things, have made the Badgers a much better team. The big question, and I don't think anybody can answer until they step on the court, is has it closed the gap with Kentucky? And when I say close the gap, on paper, in the rankings, I think it's been Kentucky and everybody else. Can the Badgers, can Duke, maybe Michigan State is a long shot, can one of those three teams, bridge that gap and really give these Wildcats a game in the Final Four?
It's been eons since Nebraska ever had a 6'10", 7-foot-tall center, but Wisconsin does. And unlike the Nebraska model, which is usually one of those, post players, back to the basket kind of guys, obviously Frank Kaminsky, being more of a finesse player, is a little bit different. Does his finesse game, is that going to come in very helpful with the length and the pressure that Kentucky likes to put on the ball? I mean, is this really when Frank Kaminsky is going to be able to pick up to the forefront and really take the center stage?
I think you're right. I think that's a good point. He is so skilled. He grew up being, a ball handler because he didn't grow until late in high school. And I think that will be huge. When I look at the Kentucky's, especially their starting five, and, you look at the length that's attached to those heights and weights and, across the board. So the Badgers need somebody to counteract that. I think Kaminsky is one of those guys. I think Decker is one of those guys. He's grown out to be 6'9". Hayes a little bit, but I don't feel comfortable with Hayes putting the ball on the floor as much as I would Decker and even Kaminsky because Frank's been able to bring the ball down court, in situations where, they're just face guarding, every legitimate guard on the court. So I think that's huge. But again, for the Badgers to succeed, you've got to get Kaminsky back in the offense and start running that motion that gets him the open looks on the perimeter, gets those isolated one-on-one matchups in the post, and you know, if you put too much, spend too much time and too much energy trying just to break pressure and deal with the length of the Kentucky Wildcats, I don't think the Badgers will ever get into the sets that they want to run here in this national semifinal.
Last minute here with Rob Hernandez of Madison.com. In all the Wisconsin games that I had a chance to watch, especially watching them there live in Omaha and then this past weekend, they never seemed to be they don't care that they give up points, it almost seems like, that they know that they can outscore the opponent. They never seem to get rattled like the Oregon game when they pushed them and then they just took care of business in the last 4 minutes. Will that be a concern against Kentucky? Just touch on their D.
Well, I think the players may act that way, but Bo Ryan, if they give up too many points, he really gets torqued. And so I think there's a certain, you know, level of expectation that even though it's Kentucky on the other side of the court, he's going to still expect his team to try to take away what Kentucky does well. So at least from the coaching perspective, that part's still there. But I get what you're saying. It seemed like here the last 4 weeks that no matter how large the deficit, the Badgers have the ability to come back. And I think that hits to the point that no matter what your conceived notion is of Wisconsin Badger basketball, whether it's you know, your father's you know, conception of 1917 back in the first Final Four they went to at halftime, or what, but I mean, this is a team that can score, and it can score in bunches. I think they put 55 points up on the board in the second half against Arizona, which I believe was ranked number 3 in scoring defense coming into the game. In the country, they're a team that hasn't been able to that hasn't backed down from a challenge being behind, and it goes back to the Big Ten championship game where it looked like they were toast against Michigan State in the second half, found that switch, came back, forced overtime, and then outscored them 11-0 in the OT. So I agree. I think you know, there's no deficit too large for the Badgers to overcome, but I tell you, this is Kentucky, and I wouldn't want to be in too big a hole. I think double-digit deficits against Kentucky, you're playing with fire. It's like putting for bogey.
Sometimes I'll take that. Rob, last question I got for you, because everybody's been talking about the matchup for Kentucky all the way down the line, whoever's next. If Wisconsin does win on Saturday, it's a quick turnaround, and they're going to play either Michigan State, who I'm guessing familiarity-wise, I think they'd like to play them, or Duke, which, like you said, also a little familiarity. But what about a Monday night? What would Wisconsin have to do to get over shocking the country and ending that win streak and winning it all, not just winning Saturday?
Well, it has been the players' mindset the whole way that that's the last goal on the checklist. So focus won't be an issue. The matchup will be an issue. Yeah, they've beaten Michigan State twice, but the difference between Michigan State in the last home game of the regular season, where the Badgers clinched outright the Big Ten regular season title, and the Michigan State team that they ran into at the United Center was night and day. And what we saw at the United Center was basically a preview of what the rest of the country's seen here during the tournament. And I really wouldn't want to get in the way of the Spartans. They're playing like a charm team right now, and I don't think that you could pencil a Badger-Michigan State third meeting into the win column as a gimme for the Badgers by any stretch of the imagination if that were to come on Monday night. Now, going back to the Duke game, as I mentioned, they met back in December here in Madison, and the thing that won it for Duke was they shot some sort of crazy percentage. I believe it was 67% from the field in the Badgers gym. And the two or three times the Badgers have lost this year, two of those have come where the opponent has shot 50-60%. So, that would be the key in that ball game. Can Duke shoot that well again? If not, I mean, the Badgers were still in that game for a while against Duke, but eventually they just didn't have the firepower to keep up with the way they were shooting the basketball. So, both matchups would, I think, be welcoming for the Badger players, coaches, and certainly their fans. I think a Duke rematch would be one that folks around here would like to see, just because one of the losses that you could truly chalk up as a loss. The other loss to Rutgers, Kaminsky didn't play because of concussion, and then Trey Jackson went down with that fractured foot. And Maryland was just another aberration on the road where Maryland played pretty well. But Duke, I think people around here don't think the Blue Devils can shoot that well against the Badgers twice in one season. And I think they'd like to see the Badgers have an opportunity to atone for that loss.
So, Rob, how do you see it on Saturday? What's your prediction?
Well, I think it'll be tight again. I think it'll be close again. I just, I've got to go with chalk on this one because, you know, Kentucky has done everything they've had to do to, you know, to get themselves, first of all, into the national championship game and presumably win it all. And I think it's going to be Kentucky again, possibly on one of those, you know, one of the Harrison twins on a last-second shot again. I can tell you this. Closeout defense won't be an issue with the Badgers. They will close out, but I can see Kentucky still hitting the shot.
That would be brutal to have it happen the same way twice. Rob, enjoy the weekend, and we sure appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks,
that's
Rob.
Rob Hernandez joining us from Madison.com. You can check out their live chat at noon at Madison.com. T&L Irrigation. Well, we could see a game like no other on Saturday night between Kentucky and Wisconsin because last year's was, and T&L is like no other as well because they are a hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation system. T&L's superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of their hydraulic design are just a few of the many great reasons you should have a T&L irrigation system in your field. Contact your local T&L dealer, or you can always go online to TLIRR.com. They're like no other at T&L Irrigation. UNK's new women's basketball coach, Kerry Hofstetter, and athletic director, Paul Plinski will join us after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll have partly sunny skies today. It's been breezy south winds with a warm high near 84 degrees. And we'll have a good chance for showers and thunderstorms tonight with low temperatures down to 39. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Sam Zanisky. Right now, it's 70 degrees.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hey, Bragger, how's your hockey bracket doing?
And you know what? Actually, it's pretty darn good. Did I not say that the Mavericks had a great chance of making the Frozen Four? Did I not say that? Yes, I did. Yes, I did, because I also said that there's no way that Minnesota State was going to be able to be the number one overall seed and make it to the Frozen Four. Too much pressure on them. They never won a game before. Neither did had the Mavericks, but they didn't have the pressure.
Tomorrow,
so my bracket looks great.
Tomorrow we're going to be at Bandits in Grand Island again, getting you ready for the Final Four, and we're going to be talking hockey with Jim Holton, head coach of the Tri-City Storm. We're also going to be talking with Sean Merriman of BTN, Big Ten Network, BTN.com, a little more about Michigan State, Wisconsin, getting ready for the Final Four this weekend, probably even a little bit about Maryland's women, because we don't want to overlook them on the women's Final Four. But back to hockey, how much emphasis should the Storm have placed if they did or did not, on winning the overall title. Because I've always thought that they wanted to be well-established in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then when they got right there and sniffed first place, even when they took over first place in the West, it seemed like that would be enough to lead the whole division, and it wasn't. I'm surprised at how well they're playing. And I'm not disappointed, but how important all of a sudden does that become?
Well, I think you lose a little bit of focus because they had the best record at home in the USHL. They'd only lost one or two games the entire year up until this last weekend. And then losing two of your last three home games, that's a bit problematic. To me, that's the greater concern, is that not losing that and maybe not being the number one seed in the West. But to me, the biggest issue is you're not playing very good hockey right now. I mean, you got jumped up by a team that you should have played in the first round of the playoffs, and they got you twice on your home ice.
It's hard to play hockey when the ice is melting like this.
they keep it frozen really well. They do a nice job with that.
Let's get into our Loper Link, because we've had so much to talk about here. Our Loper Link brought to you by Charter West National Bank. Carney, you have the reasons they have the loan. See Russ Smith today at Charter West National Bank. And the new women's basketball coach at UNK is Carrie Hofstetter. And this whole thing seems weird because we talk to Carrie all the time at Hastings. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is it weird?
Yeah, it is. It is a little weird. You know, it's just a couple weeks ago we were chatting about being in the Final Four at the national tournament. So yeah. It's been a fast and furious couple of weeks, but I'm really excited, and it's a good weird.
Sometimes there is a throwaway line in our interviews that comes back in the future, and you go, what? And I think we might have even had a throwaway line when we were mentioning this. When would have Carney been on your radar? And I guess the bigger picture, when was another job, any other job, advancement? Because we had Coach Damon Day on yesterday, and he coached baseball at Dana, and now he's found a home right now here at UNK. But he was flat out frank, saying young coaches have to be looking to move on at the NAIA level, even with your background at Hastings College.
Well, you know, honestly, I've not really ever been much of a looker. I try to be really, really present where I'm at, and not that other coaches who are looking aren't present, but I try to stay focused on my job and what I'm doing, and making sure that I'm doing everything I can to help that particular group or team be successful. And so, honestly, I wasn't necessarily looking. The opportunity kind of came, and obviously Paul and I have had several conversations over the last couple of weeks, and you know, it was kind of one of those things where I was really in the midst of still working on rebuilding that program, and so very, very focused on that and very committed to that, and obviously this opportunity is one that I definitely couldn't pass up, and I'm happy to have had those conversations with Paul and to be sitting right here right now visiting with you guys about this.
And obviously basketball is basketball, but there is a transition there. Have you been in contact, say, with Tony Hobson or other coaches that have kind of gone through similarly, going from the NAIA to Division II?
Yeah, obviously Tony and I are still in contact some, and he's somebody that I reached out to regarding this job and the opportunity and whether or not it's, you know, it was a good fit and things like that. And, you know, he's been such a mentor throughout the course of both my playing career and as a coach, that his opinion is obviously something that's really important to me. And so he's obviously somebody that had some input and some influence on my decision, but also Jerry Schmuddy, our current athletic director at Hastings College, who's actually announced his retirement at the end of this year, was a huge advocate of the opportunity and just helping me sort things out. And Jerry's been a longtime successful coach at institutions like Nebraska Wesleyan and Morningside, and so I really value his opinion, and he was instrumental in helping me navigate the decision.
Carrie Hofstetter joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter. You got the Bo Pelini photo on the phone at Carney Hub. I don't think you probably haven't made that expression very many times. I'll talk to the boys over there. I'd put the happy face on the paper, guys. Come on.
Honestly, guys, that's they had to really search. That's a it's a fairly common expression, mainly just because I'm really intense and competitive. But I like to think that my relationship with the refs is a little bit better than the picture might indicate. But, you know, that's just intensity and passion and wanting to have the best opportunity for our kids to be successful.
Carrie, did you, considering there was a, with Coach Neinmeyer, Sandy Creek, there was a little bit of traffic coming to UNK. Were you recruited to play here? Was that ever a consideration?
I wasn't. I wasn't recruited to play here. There were some Division IIs, Northwest Missouri State and Missouri Western, and we're kind of in the picture, some junior colleges. But I was raised in an area where, you know, the NAIA schools were where a lot of my teammates from Sandy Creek were going, and so it was familiar to me. And Hastings ended up being my pick. And at the same time, though, I really, really respected what Amy Stevens was doing here at UNK, and would have jumped probably at the opportunity to play for her. I wasn't very good in high school. I will say that I improved a ton throughout my college career, and was fortunate to play with some really great players like Elizabeth Herbeck and Wendy Okeson, Mary Stoom. I could go on and on and on about the players that I played with. They made me look good, really. So it wasn't an opportunity for me, but I would have definitely been flattered to be recruited by Amy Stevens.
And obviously, and Randy, I mean, let's just face it, sometimes athletes blossom a little later. I mean,
I'm still waiting.
Bailey Morse breaks everything.
You had to bring her up, didn't you?
Well, I'm just, she's an excellent example of that.
Obviously, you know a lot about the MIAA, working with Coach Opson as an assistant coach when he was at Hayes. Give us kind of your impression of what you're facing now that you're going to be coaching in the MIAA.
It's a highly competitive conference, and there are some great players all over the MIAA, and you've got to be able to perform night in and night out and be consistent, because there are no real days off, so to speak, in the MIAA, and obviously there's some extensive travel and things like that, and to me it's just building that toughness into a team and into a program, and embracing those challenges and that adversity of what it takes to be successful in the MIAA. When I initially went to coach with Tony down in Fort Hayes, what we learned really quickly is that, you know, it's not just having great players. It's being able to put them in the right situations, and the X's and O's and all of those things there are some great coaches in the MIAA, and to be able to have teams that can compete on a nightly basis and really be in that top four, top three, top four is it's something that, you know, it takes talent, and it also takes a toughness and just a special kind of chemistry within your program.
Just kind of following up on that, and you were kind of asked this at the press conference as well, what is the difference between a girl or a young lady that you would recruit to come to Hastings College and hope can be an All-American and play for a national championship compared to the type? Is there a difference to the type of kid that you're going to have to get to play at Division II and be competitive in the MIAA?
I think it's kind of a little bit difficult to explain, and the way that I've been able to kind of simplify it is, if I'm a coach at Hastings College, I'm always trying to look to get Division II caliber kids. I'm always trying to look to get those kids that can play at the next level, but that I just happen to steal. And so in the same way, then, as a Division II coach, you're always trying to look for those, you know, Division I caliber kids who you can win over and convince that Division II, the MIAA, is a quality, you know, brand of basketball that they would want to be a part of and compete in. So it's always kind of looking for that next level player. And so that would be the best way to describe the difference, I think. Obviously, the athleticism and the size and the skill set are also separators, but that would be what would separate a Division II kid from a Division I kid.
Obviously, the recruiting footprint is going to be very, very important. What do you see as UNK's recruiting footprint here, and how many of those players have to be outside of that? Because you probably do have to go nationwide to find some of the players you want.
Yeah, well, I think the initial and most important footprint is right here in our state. in the state of Nebraska. There are a lot of great players here. If you look at Paul and I have discussed this extensively. In fact, I recruited several of the kids that if you look at the Fort Hayes roster right now, you'll see that there's several Nebraska kids that are in their starting five or in their mix of their top eight or nine in rotation. So, that will continue to be true. There are great players here in the state of Nebraska, and as you guys know, we have kids in this state are competitive and they're hardworking and they bring that toughness that we've been talking about that's necessary to compete in the MIAA. There's also great players in the state surrounding us. We've been able to obviously recruit from South Dakota and Colorado and Kansas, and all of those areas are attractive for people who want to play in the best conference in Division II. And so those will all be options for us.
Carrie Hofstetter, UNK's new women's basketball coach. So you don't have to worry about out recruiting Hobson. You're always doing it, right? I want to ask you, and I don't know how for sure this might be something that we'll have to wait till you get some practices in. But as you talked with Athletic Director Plinsky, and he touched on a couple of them today, and what Coach Chaney had said coming out, what is working with the UNK women's basketball program? What isn't working with the UNK women's basketball program? Can you share any of that conversation?
Well, I think you know, more than looking at what isn't working, the athletic director, Paul Plinsky, and I have had lots of conversations on what will work and what are we going to do to make this work and to bring UNK women's basketball to the top of the MIAA. And so those are really where our conversations have been centered around, rather than kind of looking back and saying what didn't work. Let's look forward and really talk about and figure out what we need to do to be competitive in that conference. And we've had a lot of those conversations, and I think we're already moving in the direction from just making sure that we have the resources in place, making sure that we have the right people in place to recruit great athletes, to recruit great people, and to build something. And so that's really how I operate anyway, is very forward thinking and what do we need to do next to keep moving forward. And so we're like-minded in that way, and I think that that's really what drew me to UNK's women's basketball program.
Still not going to tell me who the assistant coaches are. We already tried that.
Probably don't know just yet. You're leaving a program that really was just contending for a national championship. It had the lead in the national semifinal game in the second half. Obviously, that's where we want to get. Beyond that, actually, is where we want to get the UNK program. Is this a 3-year plan, 5-year plan? How long? I mean, what are some of the obstacles in the way? How are you kind of approaching that?
I'm not much of a timeline person either, in the sense of it's gonna take you 1 year, it's gonna take you 3 years, it's gonna take. And the reason why is because it's so unpredictable. In different programs that I've been a part of, where we're trying to rebuild, and you never know what's gonna happen. You never know when your best player is gonna come down with a season-ending injury, or you never know, you know, those kind of things that are kind of personnel specific within your program are difficult to predict. And so our goal is to make significant changes to where we feel like we're positioning ourselves to be competitive every single night. And, you know, for me, that focus, when you break it down, is helping our players get better every day, better than they were the day before. And that was my mentality when I stepped foot on the Hastings College campus again, was to just focus on getting better than we were the day before. And so we'll try to do that in every facet of the women's basketball program.
Well, unless you were going to coach for 40 years at Hastings, you're going to leave sometime. But just reiterate maybe what you said at the press conference about leaving Hastings.
It was hard. It's a really tough decision. It's a place that will always be near and dear to my heart because I'm an alum and I experienced so much success there, but also because of the amazing people that are there and the way that they kind of embraced me and helped me grow as a person and as a coach. And I'll take those things with me as I move forward in my career. It was it was a challenging decision for just like what you just said. We were in a position where we were kind of competing at the national level again and making huge strides, and at the same time, you can't control the timing of opportunities. And again, this opportunity is something that I'm extremely grateful and thrilled about, and I just absolutely could not pass it up. And so it's timing is always an interesting thing, and I honestly feel like the timing of this opportunity is as good as it gets.
Growing up in Sandy Creek, going to college at Hastings College and then coaching there, obviously you've kind of been on the periphery of UNK for a lot of years. What was always your impression? What did you like? Maybe, you know, there's a little rivalry between Hastings sure. College and UNK. What were some of the things you didn't like about UNK?
Well, I think the thing that I've always had is respect. That's just the word that keeps coming to mind is just the respect. And it probably has to do with that period of time when I was growing up and going to high school and throughout college and having success, but also looking down the road and saying, wow, Amy Stevens is really successful too. And at the Division II level, and obviously the facilities were so impressive. So there's always been that respect. And honestly, there's really never been anything that I didn't like about Kearney, except for the fact that they would never play us when I was at Hastings College. So I always wanted to kind of test and see kind of where we stood up against them, and we never had the opportunity, but that was really the only thing that I would be frustrated about or that I didn't particularly like.
So you're going to schedule Hastings?
Not for next season. Both of our schedules are full, and that was not by design.
Well, is that convenient?
Yeah.
We'll worry about getting past Hobson, and then we'll get on
exactly.
to the next level. Athletic Director Plinsky is with us. We're going to take a break and have a couple questions for him, but Carrie, we continue to look forward, as we always do. What did I want to say there? We look forward to continue working with you in a little different uniform this time.
Great. Thanks so much, guys.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. That's new Loper women's basketball coach Carrie Hofstetter. We'll talk with the athletic director Paul Plinsky next.
All tires are on sale now at the March into April sale event at all Graham Tire locations. Purchase any four Hankook tires and get two free oil changes. Plus, when you buy any three Goodyear Assurance Comfort Treads or Wrangler SRA tires, you get the fourth tire at half price. And the people you trust for tires are tops in service, too. Save on many popular services for your car or light truck. It's the March into April sale event at Graham Tire, now through Saturday, April 4th. Graham Tire, your tire store next door.
The Village Green at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village offers seniors a comfortable lifestyle in a caring community. The Village Green is designed to accommodate those who require a little extra. Apartments feature full kitchen, spacious living room, accessible bathroom, and an emergency call system. Services include a noon meal, housekeeping, and transportation. The Village Green can help you maintain your independence with services to keep you safe and healthy. Contact Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretan Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretan Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Doug and Danny Show rolling on. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, a little heavy UNK today. Athletic Director Paul Plinsky joins us as well in studio. The hiring of Carrie Hofstetter. You've been a busy little boy here lately.
First of all, it's okay to be heavy on UNK. Okay, I love it. The more we can get, the better off it is for all of us.
You know, I wear Loper gear all the time.
No, so I love it, Randy.
Yeah. I know, and I make fun of you.
Yeah, I know.
And
you
not
don't.
Because I wear any other specific gear all the time, but I do make fun of you from time to time.
It doesn't matter what I wear, you would have found something.
That's true. It's better than Dolphin stuff.
You asked the question of am I busy and how are things going? Well, first, just let me share that, you know, there's been a lot happening, not only with football that, you know, was fast and furious for several weeks, but transitioning into men's and women's basketball, and then leading into the decision to make a change with women's basketball and doing that search. But then the simple fact that, you know, Dr. Tom Kropp decided that it was his time to step down, it kind of created the perfect storm all at once. And, you know, I tried to keep it compartmentalized and simple and just stay focused on the task at hand and trying to build, you know, a unifying, uniform athletic department that, you know, has a bunch of family members that are working together trying to create something special. And that's been the goal. And so, I've been busy, but, you know, I really couldn't have gotten through it without a tremendous amount of support from Chancellor Christensen. He is stepping up to the plate, gentlemen. I mean, I'm really proud of him, excited to work for him, just thankful that he's in this with us. And I know that he wants to see us do well because he brought us from the RMAC into the MIAA, and he knows that we're at a pivotal time and a really special time. And so it's been great to be able to work with him on making things happen so that we can bring in people, you know, like Kerry Hofstetter into the program and Josh Lamberson and all the staff that they'll bring with them. So it's a special and fun time, but it has been kind of crazy and I'm just enjoying every minute of it.
You take a look at the two major hires you had, football and women's basketball. Obviously, kind of having a Nebraska connection, and both coaches had a lot of connections with the MIAA. Is that a deal breaker if you're not one of those? How important is that?
There is a little theme kind of generating here, isn't there, yeah. Randy? You know, and at the same time, you know, there is an important piece to being a Nebraska native, but it's not a necessary qualification. I think it's more or less serendipity. And, you know, serendipity showed itself to me more than anything when Josh Lamberson and Kerry Hofstetter had a chance to sit down and talk and share their stories. And I think those two were extraordinarily similar in their backgrounds and how they got to the place that they are right now. But, you know, I think that's a characteristic that is a great selling point, and it also makes our community really proud of what we have coming into Kearney to make the city an even better city than what it is. But it definitely helps when we want to get into the schools of talented student athletes in this state. It will help us, you know, make ourselves known. And I shared this back in November, you know, we should be the school of choice if they're not going to the University of Nebraska. And that's a great passion that I have. And Coach Lamberson showed that when he brought in, you know, 22 out of his 40 signees are from the state. And he had really no roadblocks getting into the high schools because they're all interested in sending their student athletes to us if they know that they're getting a great experience. And so I'm really looking forward to watching Josh and Kerry put it together. And I know Coach Lofton is working on it as we try to create a model that can be patterned for many years to come.
Athletic Director Paul Plinsky with us for a couple of minutes here. You touched on it. You had a big field of candidates. We talked about it just a couple of weeks ago. You were hoping to get things done by Easter, which you were able to accomplish. You mentioned the seven candidates that you interviewed. I'm wondering what set Kerry apart, because if I'm not mistaken, there were probably two or three people that could have been offered this position.
There is a lot of people that were positioned well to be in a place to get a job like this. But there are a number of different things that I think Kerry showed to me, not only during the times that we met, but even before the times that we met. Because if you look close at her track record and look closely at her upbringing with her family and what they taught her, and then the experience that she had playing for a girls basketball program that was extraordinarily successful, and then moving to Hastings to play for a really, really good coach, and then to be in a position where she's positioned to lead a program. Those things just jumped right at me, and I couldn't avoid them. But like I try to do with all of our coaches, I want to create a partnership. And I felt like we had one instantly the minute that we met, and that we were destined to be in this together, and that we were going to support each other, and that we were going to build something special together. And really, that's my role as an athletic director, is to partner, but to get under the coaches and support them and provide them what they need to be successful. And that, at the end of the day, is what, in addition to her track record, that put her over the edge compared to everybody else.
You've had two different coaches searches, two different genders. So kind of an eclectic group, really, of the two hires that you kind of have, two different kinds of programs. With that in mind, and you've talked to these folks that have come in and interested to come into UNK, what have you kind of found out about where UNK is now in terms of how we're able to attract talent to come in as a coach? Have we found that maybe there's some things that we're lacking there, or are we on the right path?
Well, first and foremost, people uniformly say they love the city of Kearney. Second of all, they believe that UNK is an exceptional institution in Division II athletics. Third is that they feel like the athletic department is an untapped gold mine. And the fourth thing is that they continually ask me, you know, about all the rumors that were circulating around and all the things that they had heard about lack of this and lack of that, and the UNK is not here and UNK is not there. And we've gotten to a point now where we're getting such tremendous support from the campus administration and from our external supporters that those things are going away, Randy, and we're to a point now where there are no more excuses. Because we believe in the value of college athletics, and we believe that there's a tremendous experience that can be given to our student athletes that can permeate all throughout campus and put the university and the city on a national map. And so I had to dispel a lot of myths, and that was a continual question I got through the football and the women's basketball search. But at the end of the day, when they understood where we were at, and then they saw the greatness of our city and university, it seemed like to them it was a slam dunk.
Just another minute here. I got two questions left for Athletic Director Paul Plinsky. I guess this is it goes through my mind just as it has many people that keep bringing it up to me. And this is not a Paul Plinsky question. This is a whoever the athletic director was going to be. Because in the search for your job, it seemed like there was a lot of Loper people, boosters, fans, that said the next athletic director is going to be hired to come in here and clean house. Because there have been a lot of coaches that have been here for numbers of years. You've made three hires now. Now, Tom Kropp, obviously, retiring on his own. So less than 2 years. What do you say to the people you have made these changes, I guess, so quickly?
Well, first and foremost is I promised every coach that I was going to give them two full seasons worth. Second of all, in a part of that process was that they were going to know explicitly what I was looking for in their programs and what I was hoping for. And third is that I never really came in here with the intent of cleaning house. My whole purpose has been to build relationships and establish partnerships with our coaches and to create a support system that will allow our student athletes to have the best experience possible. And so that has been my simple focus throughout this whole process. And I think that at the end of the day, when the dust settles and everything gets sifted through, I think people will come to a realization that I've held true to that. And that's what I continue to stay focused in on. You know, we're in a really different environment than our Division I counterparts. You know, they need to win or else, and they'll do it at all costs. Whereas at our level, we have to be conscious of the financial ramifications, and we also have to look at, you know, the big picture of things. And so there's a deliberateness to all of this, but I'll promise you this, that I'm here to support our coaches and our staff and show them through so that they can give our student athletes the best experience possible. And I look at the three major sports that we're talking about right now, that they it just happened to be that in the same year. You know, there's never intent to go boom, boom, boom. It was like, well, let's just take one sport at a time, one program at a time, one coach at a time. And so that's been the conscious goal as we try to approach where we believe UNK athletics can ultimately go.
there you, to you, all the people that have asked me that question.
There's your answer.
There's your answer.
Did I answer the question?
I think so.
I hope so.
It's fair.
You know, you kind of mentioned these rumors, the things that people believe about the program in terms of coaches that might potentially come here. You're going to be now. Kerry's going to be recruiting against some of those coaches. You know, against some of those programs, that sort of thing. How do you kind of dispel that? How do you kind of make that so it's easier to recruit to UNK? How do we kind of put those issues to bed?
Walk in the Health and Sports Center and look at the branding, look at the remodeling, the coaches' offices, look at what we're going to plan for the summer with new bleachers going in the Health and Sports Center. We have some significant facility renovations underway already that will also be continuing this summer. And then ask our coaches about, you know, the progress that has been made with scholarship allocations and distribution of resources for sport programs. And, you know, my whole focus is on total program growth and development, and we have 17 sport programs that we have to be conscious of. But at the same time, we also have to prioritize and make choices. And so we've got to start somewhere. So we've been starting and working consciously through different sport programs, and hopefully each program will be able to say, yeah, there's been an approach that's been fair to my program and helping us take those growth steps. And I think the coaches who are out there doing the work have a product to be able to sell and be able to have resources to be able to help sell it too. So those pieces, I think, will show, and the proof will be in the pudding as time moves along.
He's a cool cat. I've been trying to see how long we can leave him in this sauna before he starts sweating, but he's doing a great job over there, the athletic director.
You guys hit me up my first week on campus and asked me when we were going to start cutting programs, and I promise you, we are not cutting programs.
Something from Paul from time to time that says, now you got to be as tough on everybody else as you are on me. But the last thing I did want you to touch on, because you haven't grown up around UNK and you know of Tom Kropp, but Tom obviously isn't the media guy. We've known that ever since we started working here. Kevin Lofton was immediately the replacement. Was there any thought about doing a search there? And just a little more on the men's basketball program and the legacy that Coach Kropp left.
Well, first of all, when I walked in here, I knew of Tom Kropp and all the things that he did as a player and as an assistant and as a head coach here at the University of Nebraska-Kearney, and have a tremendous amount of respect for him in the things that he did there. But more than anything, a great admiration for him as a person and his character, his integrity, and the type of individual that he is. Coach Kropp and I, like I have with all of our head coaches, have sat down, and I needed him to explain to me how the co-head coaching situation was going to work, but I also, because I was a skeptic, but I also needed to build a relationship individually with him and with Kevin. And a year ago, had Tom Kropp said, I'm going to retire, I would have had different thoughts about the process that we were going to take. A year later, I'll tell you right now that Kevin Lofton won me over. And he did it because we spent time together each month for about an hour to 2 hours. And we developed a relationship. And we talked about vision and growth and where we want to go with the program. And, you know, I would have done it the same with Tom had he asked. But Tom was at a different point in his career, whereas Kevin wanted to be the head coach here. And he wanted to have that opportunity to take over. And I said, well, let's build a relationship and see what we can put together. And as I reflected back on the growth that I saw this year, going 18-10 in the MIAA, watching Kevin really take the reins in a lot of different areas and watching Tom continue to be, you know, the legend that he was, I just felt like it was just the most logical, natural progression. And I'm so excited for Kevin. He has been in my office. He's called me. He's been texting me. His ideas are flowing now because he has an opportunity to take what he and Tom built and bring it to the next level in the way that he knows best. Based upon the foundation that was laid between the two of them. And so I sit here in just awe and admiration, but also extremely thankful that I have a great relationship with both of them and that Kevin is going to be our next head basketball coach.
And as I said today, and with Coach Lofton in here last week, as soon as Coach Kropp wants to break his silence, we're here for you,
Tom. We're here for you, Tom.
Anything else?
No, I think that covers it.
I wanted to be fair. Let's get him off to lunch. Paul Plinsky, athletic director at UNK, thanks for always answering our questions and making your time available. And I think you did good.
Kerry will be great. I'm super excited to get this thing rolling. And thanks, guys, for your support. It really means a lot.
We'll take a break. Thanks, wrap Paul. Things up on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
It's our labor of love.
They should have fired him 2 years earlier.
All sports, all the time. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. Rocky.com.
If you're hoppy and you know it, then you need to get your tickets to this year's Hastings Downtown Do the Brew. Taste dozens of craft beers and enjoy live music at this fundraiser for the Hastings Art Council. Do the Brew will be held April 25th at the Hastings City Auditorium. Tickets are available at the Hastings Area Chamber of Commerce, Murphy's Wagon Wheel, or Wine Styles. Be hoppy and know it at the Hastings Downtown Do the Brew, April 25th. Please drink responsibly. Designated driver.
I'm a Ford guy. My dad was a Ford guy, and so was my dad's dad. But more to the point, I'm a Crossroads Ford guy. The pickup my dad used to teach me to drive came from Crossroads. The Ford my son will learn to drive comes from Crossroads, too. Why have I stuck by them? Because they've stuck by us. From regular maintenance to the repairs when the driving lessons don't go very well, Crossroads has earned our trust. Their family has always taken care of our family. Small enough to know you, big enough to help. Crossroads Ford in Kearney.
Hastings Physical Therapy, the standard for excellence in one-on-one care, is proud to offer Hastings' first and only on-site aquatic therapy pool featuring state-of-the-art heated therapy pool technology with private locker rooms. Providers to Hastings College, The Danger, and South Central Nebraska. Make us your choice when you need physical therapy. Open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and conveniently located next to Applebee's on Osborne Drive West. Visit HastingsPhysicalTherapy.com to tour all of our services or call 402-462-2665.
A big Buffalo County Fair welcome to Alabama.
If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man.
Coming to the Buffalo County Fair on July 24th, the legendary Alabama.
Dixieland delight. Oh, play me some mountain.
Alabama's 40-year career has produced 43 number one singles, including 21 number one hits in a row.
I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh,
Alabama's music continues to reach country fans of all generations.
I'm guilty, love in the first degree.
Tickets range from $40 to $75 plus fees. Get your tickets now at etix.com. That's ETIX.com. Alabama, Friday, July 24th at the Buffalo County Fair.
Danny's show, our Midtown Mark Cooler question for today. Would you rather see Kentucky or some other team win the national title?
Kentucky. Yeah, that way I get lunch.
You're in the minority.
I'm in it for the lunch.
80% said some other team, just like Damon Day did yesterday. 20% said Kentucky. You know,
I'm
going to root for Wisconsin, but I would feel I would feel so bad if I was the undefeated team, no matter if it was Kentucky or Kansas or whoever, Wichita State last year. You know,
it's hard. That's what makes it special. It's hard. That's what makes it so special. It is. I mean, once a generation or so.
It may never happen again. They had their close calls, and they survived them all so far. Vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question. By the way, it was 80%, 20% rooting for somebody else. Which team will win the NIT? What a difference of games last night. What was Stanford, 14-0 and like 25-4? Over Old Dominion. Yeah. And the next thing you know, Old Dominion cuts it to 3 in the first half. Miami of Florida or Stanford? I've been kind of picking in that streak for the cash. Miami of Florida all the way through. So I guess I'll go with them. I'll say Miami of Florida.
Yeah, okay. I'll go with you on that. And it'd be kind of nice, the program that Nebraska played and beat, you know, to still be playing right now.
A couple of them.
Just like Michigan State.
Yeah, a couple of them are still playing.
We would need to wrap up the Loper Link, brought to you by Russ Smith, CharterWest National Bank, Kearney, UNK Baseball. They are getting
I think they just scored another run, by the way. I think they just scored another run from the weekend.
Getting ready to take on Emporia State, and they have the player of the week, as we mentioned, in Max Ayoub. So congratulations to Max. Coach Lamerson has already promoted Ken Gordon, his defensive coordinator, to associate head coach as they began practice yesterday. Again, practice is open to the public at 3:45. They'll go again on Thursday and Friday. The Loper women's golf team breaks the school 18-hole record at Awarey Dunes with a 308 yesterday to win their own spring invite. And individually, true freshman Samantha Crawford brings home the medalist honor.
Yeah, she shot something like 76-76, which is what I shoot there. Of course, she was doing it for over 2 days for 36 holes. That's usually my front nine and my back nine score out there, but still, it's nice. That's pretty outstanding.
Also, Mohab Elzanity has been named the MIAA Tennis Athlete of the Week. The men's golf team finished fifth at the Quarry Oaks Collegiate Tournament over the weekend. They headed to Topeka, Kansas next, and the UNK track and field teams won seven events and had four provisional efforts at the Alex Francis Classic and the Emporia State Spring Open in Kansas. They are home Saturday with their annual spring invite, which will be going on at Kearney High School. So there you go.
Plenty to do Saturday because the Emporia State being in town for baseball, and then you got the track meet going on. There's not a lot of home collegiate track meets. So you got to go when the going's good.
And the tennis team's bringing it on home with Southwest Baptist. And that is our Loper Link, brought to you by Russ Smith, CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. A couple of other sports notes before we wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show today. And don't forget to get registered for the Cunningham's Comedy Clip. You can check it out again on our Facebook page. With all the defections, some good news for the volleyball team. The Huskers' Brianna Holman has been named to the U.S. Collegiate National Team, one of 12 players that will be competing in the World University Games in South Korea in July. We mentioned Nebraska baseball getting the win yesterday. They also have Players of the Week, Kyle Kubot, the Pitcher of the Week in the Big Ten, Elijah Dilday, the co-freshman of the week. Hastings College baseball split yesterday with York. They'll play at Doan Friday. Hastings softball home today to take on Midland. And in a little bit of a shocker yesterday, Nebraska softball dropped a pair of games to North Dakota State.
Yeah, they're one of the better programs around, and that doesn't help. Going back to the volleyball team at Nebraska, one of the young ladies that left, older sister plays, younger sister plays, that middle child maybe wanting to get their own identity. To me,
Marcia!
that makes a lot of sense, being able to go someplace else. So I don't read a whole lot into that one. I don't read a whole lot into that decision.
Well, if you're looking for some lunch today, folks, don't forget the original sports bar and grill in Kearney, the Kearney Chicken Coop. They get it both done for you. They combine the best of both places, sports bar, watch your favorite sports, enjoy your beverage, and grill, where you can get great food. Not only their great chicken wings and pizzas and burgers, but try one of the steaks. Try some of the salmon or the fish that they have. The ribs, people just continue to love what they do with the ribs there at the Kearney Chicken Coop. And as we get close to graduation time, maybe you need their party room for a reception. They offer convenient party areas, so stop in today.
Fantasy baseball draft. There you go. Fantasy baseball draft.
Yikes.
I don't do that. I don't have. Yeah, I'm with you. There's way too much time involved in that. For
too much work.
Football is hard enough.
Kearney Chicken Coop. Yeah. Well, unless you're successful. Anything else?
So it's hard enough for me then, because my teams have stunk the last couple of years. It's been terrible. It's been terrible. I had a year a couple of years ago, finished second in like every league I've ever looked at, right there, and nothing since. Nothing. I'm depressed. Thanks for bringing that up. Thanks.
New coaches, no matter whatever level, have challenges, whatever it is. What do you see as the challenges for Coach Hofstetter?
Well, the expectations right now for women's basketball isn't where she wants them to be. And I think there's regulating those expectations, because you don't want to come in and be the savior and then struggle for a couple of years. But you really want to up it in terms of, we can play, we can be competitive in this league. So again, you have to be able to recruit players. I just really don't think, and there's been one or two pretty good women's basketball players at UNK, but you got to have that depth. And we just, they haven't recruited and had that kind of success on the recruiting trail. So changing the image of the program in a way in which you can kind of regulate it and kind of keep expectations reasonable, but continue to increase those expectations as well as continuing to recruit. X's and O's, she's going to do great. She'll do fine with that. It's getting those recruits, I think, is the biggest challenge.
Well, it'll be time probably to hit the road.
Oh, yeah.
They can do it in their brand-new Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, GMC, whichever they prefer. You can get yours as well at the Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Stop by and see them today, or go to thinkmidway.com. Think Midway. It's a better way. You're looking at Acadia. Maybe you're looking at a Malibu. Maybe you want to slide on into a Cadillac and do it in style. Maybe a Chevy truck like a Chevrolet 1500, 2500, or Colorado is more your style. Check them all out today. You can see the entire inventory as well online, but on a beautiful day like this, swing on by the lot, South 2nd Avenue.
Go kick some tires.
Kearney. Tomorrow, be over at Bandit. Steve Anderson, voice of Fodder Park, will join us. We'll also be joined by Sean Merriman of BTN.com. Talk a little more Final Four. We'll talk with Jim Holton, Tri-City Storm coach, as they get ready for two of their final four games of the regular season this weekend, including the home finale Saturday. We do want to thank our guests today, including Rob Hernandez of Madison.com. Talk a little Wisconsin hoops, and of course, Athletic Director Paul Plintz.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
Let's get UNK and the new Loper women's basketball coach, Carrie Hofstetter.
If it's not going to be an all Big Ten final, go Wildcats. That's all I'm saying.
See you tomorrow from Bandits on the Doug and Daddy Show.